Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. One man came to me and said, now I went up to there and I looked at those fish and I couldn't find one the size I wanted. He said, I guess I'm going to have to tear one of those little ones in half. And I said, well, that's just fine, just according to your faith and your love for the Lord Jesus. Some of you, if you're going to use the little ones, need to have a big long stringer of them. Yeah, not one little old fish. Man, I've eaten a goldfish longer than that. All right, you found your place in Luke chapter 16. If you're able to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me, please? And I will begin to read in verse number 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is, at this writing, is the temporary abode of the saved awaiting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus arose, he not only emptied Abraham's bosom, he moved it. Another name for it is paradise, and now it's a part of heaven. The Bible says, and it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now let me stop there and say to you, this rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. Neither did the beggar go to heaven because he was poor. The rich man went to hell because nobody ever told him the gospel story, and he never had an opportunity to accept Christ as Savior. The beggar went to heaven because someone told him about Jesus, and he accepted Christ as Savior. And the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may tell or testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torments. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What the Bible is saying is they have the Word of God. If they're not going to get saved the Bible way by believing the Word of God, they wouldn't get saved if one went to them from the dead. Says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now I want us to focus particularly today in verse 27 and 28, where the rich man is in hell. He is in torments. Hell is not the grave. If it's the grave, it's on fire and he's suffering. No, hell is a place prepared for the unsaved, just like heaven is a place prepared for the saved. He's in hell. He's in the fire. He's in torments. He finds out there's no hope for him. All hope's gone. He said, then, would you send someone to tell my brothers? I've got five of them. And they're going to come to this place called hell, if they don't hear the gospel and get saved. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Multitudes are on their way to hell, but who cares? Multitudes are on their way to hell, but who cares? That's a question you've got to answer this morning about your own life and your own family. Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? If so, is there anybody on this earth that's unsaved that you care about? Multitudes are on their way to hell. Do you care? The attitude of many is, who cares? Who cares? We're preaching this message to challenge you to be one of those that'll say, I care. I care. Heavenly Father, would you help me this morning to make plain this mission's message from this passage that tells us about that horrible place called hell. Help us to understand that those in these foreign lands who have never one time heard the name of Jesus are lost and on their way to hell. There's no special dispensation, no special program for those on the earth today who have never heard the gospel. They are unsaved, and they're unsaved because you've told those who are saved, you've told us and churches like this one to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They're unsaved because many in this world who know you don't care. But God, I challenge you today to stir our hearts so that we might be counted as one who does care about lost souls around the world. And care enough to not just say, oh, that's sad, but do something about it. Do something about it by dedicating our own life to you, to answer your call to go, to do something about it by giving of our resources so those who are called can go. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, if there's one person here today unsaved, I'm asking you to save their soul. And if there's someone here today that's unchurched, they need a church home. They need a church like this church. Lord, speak to their hearts and help them to come and become a part of this church family the way they receive members. And Father, we love you and need you. Fill me with thy spirit. Help my words to be clear and easy to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. While out soul winning one day, I knocked on this door and a man asked the question, preacher, if there's a hell, what is it? Well, allow me briefly to tell you what hell is not. Hell is not the grave. And yet there's a great part of the religious world today that teaches that hell is just the grave. Hell is not the grave. Hell is not just separation from God. I heard a nationally known evangelist say that hell was just separation from God. If hell was only separation from God, every unsaved person would want to go there because the last thing they want to do is face God in their sin. Hell is separation from God, but it's separation from God in a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Hell is not here in this life, no matter how bad life is. I've had people say, well, preacher, I'm living a hell on earth here. This is my hell, not if you don't know Jesus. No, hell is not here in this life, no matter how bad it is. Then I notice multitudes, everybody almost believes there's a heaven, but they don't believe in hell. I want you to know hell is not a myth, it's not a fairy tale. Hell is as real as heaven is. Hell is as real as God is. Hell is as real as you are. Hell is a real place prepared for those without Jesus Christ. And then, contrary to what the former pastor of the Crystal Cathedral over on the left coast said, hell is not just a negative state of mind. It is a real, literal place prepared by God for those who are unsaved. And every unsaved person will be in hell with every reprobate, murderer, rapist, whoremonger, unbeliever that's ever lived. Hell is the common sewer of all who are without Christ, but it's on fire forever and ever. When we want an answer about hell, where do we go? We don't go to Hollywood. We don't go to a secular college. When we want an answer about hell, we go to the same place we find the answer to all spiritual and doctrinal questions. We go to the unchanging Word of God, the Bible. What does the Bible say about hell? The Bible says in Revelation 20 that hell is a lake of fire and a bottomless pit. In Psalm 11, hell is a horrible tempest. In Isaiah 3, hell is everlasting burning. In Isaiah 33, it's a devouring fire. In Psalm 18, hell is a place of sorrows. In Matthew 13, it's where they'll wail and weep in a furnace of fire. In Revelation 22, hell is a place of filthiness. In Matthew 8, hell is a place of weeping. In Revelation 16, hell is a place where they curse and gnaw their tongues in pain. In 2 Thessalonians 1, hell is described as a place of everlasting destruction. In Revelation 14, hell is a place where there's no rest for the tormented as the doomed drink the wine of the wrath of God forever and forever. Matthew 25 tells us hell is everlasting punishment. It's outer darkness. It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. In Revelation 21 tells us that hell is a place for all unbelievers. In Jude 13, hell is a place of blackness and darkness forever. In Mark 9, hell is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In Luke 16, hell is a place of torments where they pray for one drop of water, but their prayers are never answered. In Luke 16, hell is a place where those who are there do not want their friends and loved ones to come. This man I was visiting then said, okay, so there is a hell. Where is it? I'm not so concerned about the geographical location as I am the spiritual location of hell. Where is hell? Hell is at the end of a life of ignorance and darkness. Where is hell? Hell is at the end of a Christless life. Where is hell? Hell is at the end of a life of rejecting God's invitation to be saved. Where is hell? Hell's at the end of a life for those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I read somewhere where every 5 seconds, 7 people die having never heard one time the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every 5 seconds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 people just died having never heard about Jesus Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 more having never one time heard about Jesus Christ. Untold millions die each year having heard the gospel and rejected God's invitation to be saved. And let me say to you, you don't have to shake your fist in the face of God to reject Jesus. All you've got to do is hear the gospel and do nothing about accepting Christ, and you've rejected Christ. Some churches, like this one, preach the gospel and people hear the gospel and get up and walk out every month, every week, knowing they need to be saved but never receiving Christ. Our scripture tells us of a man who died and went to hell and today is suffering in all hell's torments. He had five brothers who were following him to hell and he didn't want them to come. This morning I simply want to ask the question, multitudes are on their way to hell, but who cares? Who cares? I want you to think with me first about those who don't care that souls are leaving this world lost to suffer eternally in hell. May I say to you first, the unsaved friends of the unsaved don't care. None of this man's friends ever told him about Jesus or warned him about hell. None showed concern for lost souls. None showed concerns about eternity. The unsaved friends of this unsaved don't care. Then may I say to you, the lost loved ones of the unsaved don't care about their souls. This man had a father and mother and five brothers. Never one time is it mentioned that they talked to him about eternity. Never one time did they show concern about his lost soul. May I say also, the secular world doesn't care about the souls of a lost man. The secular world cares about pleasure and profit. Pleasure and profit. They cared about his money, but they didn't care about his soul. You know, there's some good organizations in this secular world that does good things. For instance, the Lions Club has a program of collecting eyeglasses, and they take them to third world countries, and they make them available to people with eye problems, and they can see. That's a wonderful program. But they have no program to care for their soul. Shriners has a wonderful program to care for crippled children and they never make a charge for it. A wonderful program for crippled children, but they have no program to care about their soul. St. Jude's has a wonderful program to care about children and help children with cancer, and they never make a require a payment for their services, but they have no program to care about the souls. There's only one organization ever organized and commissioned and empowered by God and commanded to care about the lost of the world, and that's the local New Testament church. That's me and you as Christians who are organized together, associated together in a covenant of faith and fellowship for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission as a church. Multitudes are on their way to hell. Who cares? I'm sad to say this morning that some Christians don't care about the souls of a lost and dying world. That some Christians don't care about their own family. Some Christians never miss a sporting event, but they never witness to a lost soul. Some Christians don't tithe or support missions. They don't attend faithfully their own church. Some Christians keep their children out of Sunday school and church where they could get saved and know heaven as their home. Some Christians are bothered about other things, but never a lost soul on their way to hell. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say this morning? I'm trying to tell you multitudes are lost and going to hell, but who cares? God organized the church and commissioned us and commanded us to be his agency on this earth to care about lost souls around the world. Do you care? Thank God there are some who do care that souls are lost and going to hell. And they're trying to do something about it. God cares. God cares. Long before you and I were ever born, God formulated his eternal plan. God looked down the corridor of time and he saw man in his sin, and he planned to send his son to suffer and bleed and die. Christ was crucified in the heart and the mind of God before the worlds were ever founded, because God cares. Why, God could just have wiped us all off into hell and started over. But God cares. God cares about you, and God cares about those who have never heard the gospel. And he sent his only begotten son to suffer for our sin, to pay our sin debt, to die under the wrath of God, so salvation could be freely provided for you and I. And God cared enough that he put together a plan and told those of us who know him as our Savior to carry the gospel to those in the rest of the world that have never heard him. God wants everybody to have an opportunity to be saved. And part of God's plan is that we carry that good news. Now, God could have made the rocks cry out, but God said, no, I want my children who have accepted me and know me as their Savior to join with me in my plan to carry the gospel to those who don't know, so they can be saved also. I'm here to tell you, God cares. I want you to know Jesus cares. Amen. Jesus cares. Jesus came to this earth, born in Bethlehem's manger, and started a journey from the day of his birth, the time of his incarnation, to Calvary. Every step led him closer to Calvary. Well, the Bible said he could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have destroyed the world and have gone free. But Isaiah said he opened not his mouth, because he knew if he did not die for our sins, we'd die and go to hell forever and forever. I'm here to tell you, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. And thank God, I'm glad I can tell you the Holy Spirit cares. The Holy Spirit's still here at work. He's at work in this service, convicting somebody of their need of salvation. He's here speaking above my voice, a voice that supersedes the preacher's voice, a voice you can't shut out. You can deny and reject, but you can't turn him off. He's speaking to you this morning about your need to be saved, because he cares. He's speaking to some life here, some individual here, about surrendering your life to be his preacher, his missionary, his servant. Somewhere in the world, he's at work because he cares. He cares. And our scripture today tells us that lost souls in hell care. Isn't it a terrible thing to think that lost people in hell care more about souls that are lost on the earth than we who are saved? Lost souls in hell care. This rich man was pleading for somebody to go to his brothers. God's pleading for you to go. He's pleading for you to give, for you to care. And then may I say, thank God these missionaries care. They've given up their dreams here in America. They've given up their life here in America. They've given up their careers to surrender to God's call, to go to a people that need Jesus and tell them about Jesus Christ. They can't save anyone, but on the field, those unsaved people can't get saved without the gospel. Somebody's got to tell them. And thank God these missionaries care. And I can go a step further and I can say, thank the Lord, some in this church care. You have given to missions. You have prayed for missionaries. You've been a part of this church's missionary faith promise program for years. And you do it not because somebody's got you in a hammer lock or a headlock and making you give. No, you do it because you love the Savior. And you love God's program. And you care about those Jesus cares about. And you give. You give above your tithe. You know, the tithe is given for the operation of the ministry of the church. The offerings are given for ministries outside the church. May I remind you in Malachi, when God curses the people because they'd been stealing from him, they said, "Where have we stolen?" He said, "In tithes and offerings." You say, why does God put us in such a place where he wants us to give? So he can bless you. Remember old Elijah that was told to go to the brook Cherith and the ravens would feed him there and he could drink from the brook and the brook dried up? God sent him down to Zarephath to a widow's house, a little widow woman, and said, "I've commanded her to sustain thee there." God didn't tell that widow woman to give and feed Elijah because she had plenty. She was down to one handful of meal and enough oil to make a cake. She and her son was going to cook it and eat it and die because they had nothing else. God sent Elijah down there not because she had plenty. He sent Elijah down there to get her in a place of obedience to God so God could bless her and provide for her through the drought. God saw around the corner and over the hill and into next month and next year, and God knew her son was going to take ill and die, and he wanted Elijah there where God's man could work a miracle and that boy raised from the dead. Had that little widow woman not given, she'd have missed the sustaining miraculous power of God by feeding her and her son through the entire drought, more than a year. And she'd have missed the miracle of seeing her sick son that died come alive. Could it be that God knows what's over the hill and around the corner and into next month for you? And he's trying to get you into a place in this missions conference and in giving so he can bless you and provide for you and sustain you. Hey, we're not trying to hurt you with God's program. God's not trying to hurt you when he asks you to give. He's just trying to get you in a place where you can join with him in his plan to carry the gospel to the rest of the world. And he's trying to get you into a place where he can bless you. Thank God there's some people in this church who care. And you've been caring for a lot of years. And I salute you today and thank God for you. And I pray today that God will add to your number new givers, new people who get involved in God's program and can enjoy the blessings and the provisions of God, the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. Because you're partnering with him in carrying the gospel around the world. Now the question of the hour is, do you care? Do you care? Do you care about your own soul? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Do you care where you're going to spend your forever? Hey, it's very simple. It's not a complicated thing. When we die, it's either heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. I was preaching in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was driving home that point. It's either heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Which would it be for you? And a young man stood up in the church and said, "I'd go to hell." And he ran down the aisle and got saved. I told him, "Son, it's not time to get saved yet. Go back to you." No, I didn't. We had someone take him aside and show him how to be saved. Do you care about your soul today? Do you care? Could it be that people in hell care more about you than you care about you? They want you to be saved. You've got loved ones in hell wanting you to be saved. They don't want you to come to that horrible place. Do you care about your children, your grandchildren, where they'll spend eternity? Do you care about your spouse? Where will they spend eternity? How about your parents? Do you care about the untold millions around the world who've never one time heard the gospel message or had an invitation to be saved? Do you care? Listen to this poem. Do you really care that men are dying? Do you really care that souls are lost? Do you really care? Hear them crying. Help us at any cost. All through this world, men are dying. Satan has bound the souls of men. Jesus on Calvary paid sin's wages. But who'll tell the wayward man? Do you really care that men are dying? Do you really care that souls are lost? Do you really care? Hear them crying. Help us at any cost. Wandering through a world filled with darkness, they're shackled by sin and all its shame. They're hopeless to all of heaven's glories. Oh, they need Jesus, praise his name. Do you really care that men are dying? Do you really care that souls are lost? Do you really care? Hear them crying. Help us, or all is lost. Now I've got to ask you, and I'll be finished. Do you really care today about where you will spend eternity? Do you really care today where others will spend eternity? Someone here today needs to come and let someone show them. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You won't have to make a speech. You won't be embarrassed. Someone will take you aside lovingly and privately and show you from the Bible how to be saved and know it. Everybody who's ever gotten saved had to get saved the same way they had to come trusting Jesus. Others here today, you need to come and for the first time in your Christian life, get involved in this church's missions program to carry the gospel around the world. You need to decide, God, I'm saved and it's time I start helping others to know about Jesus. You need to make your commitment for world missions through this local church. Some of you here today have already cared for years, and you need to re-up. Make that new commitment for another year. Increase your giving. We've been blessed this year. It's time we share those blessings with our Lord, for our Lord, to help others know about Jesus. I challenge you, get involved in your church's missions program. Multitudes are on their way to hell, but who cares? The only part of that question you can answer is, do you care? Do you care?